Let's go. Welcome on into the Tuesday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. I'm your host, Lindsey Cronz, big Auburn baseball writer for auburndaily.com. I am joined, making his podcast debut, the intern, Jack Singley. Thanks for joining me on this one, because I'm going to need your help. We're talking recruiting. Obviously, Auburn had a giant junior day on Saturday. And by giant, I not only mean the amount of food, amount of barbecue they had to order, but in attendance, over 200 players were on the planes over the weekend from the 2024 group. And as I'm going through the list of guys, Jack, I noticed a trend, and I want to see if you can pick up on the trend that I noticed. So going through the list of the guys who are committed to other schools, I see four-star linebacker Miles Graham out of Georgia, number three linebacker in the country, committed to Florida. I see four-star linebacker DeMarcus Riddick, number five linebacker in the country out of Alabama, committed to Georgia. I see four-star linebacker Sterling Dixon, top 25 linebacker out of the state of Alabama, committed to Alabama. I also see a lot of uncommitted guys, linebacker Bradley Shaw out of Hoover, Joseph Phillips, commit like offers from just about everybody. D'Angelo Barber, an in-state with offers from Auburn and Alabama. Jordan Burns, four-star out of Atlanta. Xavier Hamilton, four-star out of Navarre. Did we have a ton of linebackers on campus for the 2024 class? And does it kind of feel like we're focusing on trying to replenish that room?
I mean, it is a priority. I mean, when you look at it, we lost Owen. Last year, we lost to Kobe. You have coming in, you got DeMario Tolan and Austin Keys. I mean, we tried our best in the transfer portal to get them in, and we just, to be honest, we kind of flopped on a few guys. And I think that Freeze and Aldridge are just, they're trying to attack that the best they can. And especially in a Roberts defense, when you've got a 3-3-5, you need rangy guys, but you also need guys who will plug up the middle and just attack in space. And I think when you look at it, Shaw, I've watched his tape so much. I really love the guy. He is that like middle linebacker. He's that rangy guy who will just be able to plug any hole, make any tackle. And I think we had 12 linebackers on campus. It's a priority.
Yeah, it's absolutely a priority. And hearing that Shaw is one, that kind of rangy guy that fits out well as a middle linebacker, but also is coming from an in-state powerhouse in a Hoover, makes you feel good. We talked on the Friday show about, you know, you had guys from Central Phoenix City, you had guys from Thompson, guys from Hoover. So you love that. I think the other reason why it's such a big deal that Aldridge and Freeze are focusing on the linebackers is when you look at the class breakdown, we've been keeping a roster tracker on auburndaily.com. I need to go in and update it. But when you look at the room right now, you've got five seniors, and Cam Riley and Wes Steiner, Eugene Asante, Desmond Tisdall, Cam Brown. You have junior.
Cam Riley's a senior?
Cameron Brown is a senior. I had no idea until I actually went and checked the roster. He's a senior. Jake Levant, the junior, former walk-on. You brought in Austin Keys, who is a junior. You brought in DeMario Tolan as a sophomore. And then you have a couple redshirt freshmen and Robert Woodyard and Powell Gordon. So not only do you need guys who kind of better fit what Roberts wants to do schematically, but you're going to need numbers because Cam Riley and Wes Steiner had a ton of snaps last year. But after that, not a lot of guys on like in that room got meaningful snaps on defense. And you're losing over half the room at the end of the year after the 2023 season. So it's crucial to get some guys in there. The room where I feel like it's not as crucial to get guys, but Auburn is still really trying, to me, is the running back room. And I understand that Fat Burnett was here over the weekend and didn't love the visit, but is still looking at Auburn and is still a big fan of the Auburn Tigers and still may commit to Auburn.
Yeah, he enjoyed it. It's just his guy. You know, every running back that comes in here, they come for Caddy. Mm-hmm. And Caddy wasn't there Saturday. I do know that after following his visit, he did contact Caddy and Caddy reached out to him and they had a conversation over the phone and seemed
apparently
to enjoy that.
Like, It was like over an hour. Like Caddy, yeah. I mean, Caddy sat, like, got comfortable and sat down with him for, had to charge his phone halfway through. Like, it was a legit conversation.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter, right? When you just think about it, any running back commit or any running back prospect with Caddy, you have to feel comfortable about. I know we've missed out on a few, but we got Tank, we got Jarquez, we've got Damari, we've got Jeremiah, who might come in on National Signing Day. Those are all, besides Jarquez, those are all blue chip guys. Those are all 4 stars and above. I mean,
arguably Jarquez is the one that has the most experience in the room. And then I would argue has the most fit for what Auburn's trying to do, just based on being here for the last 2 years and performing on the field. So Tank off to the NFL, but the room right now, Jarquez, Jeremiah Cobb, Damari Alston, Brian Battee has, I've seen 1 year, I've seen 2 years, but either way, he's got plenty of time. And then, you know, you do still have Sean Jackson. He does still exist. It's not as urgent of a need, but if you can get a player as good as Burnett, I feel like that's absolutely a commitment you want to make. How good is he? Like, am I just thinking he's just another running back, or is he a little bit of a special player?
He's special. This most recent year, his junior season, he had, I think, 1,700 rushing yards and 17 touchdowns.
That's absurd.
That's absurd, right?
That is, well, absurd.
His sophomore season is even more insane. He had 2,250 plus all-purpose yards, 2,100 something of those rushing yards. He didn't have the touchdowns. He only had 10, but still, as a sophomore, you're getting 2,000 rushing yards in high school. That's insane. He's special.
It feels like every year there's a couple players that, even with the ridiculous stats you see in high school, that they still just somehow outperform the ridiculous stats you normally see. Trent Seaborn, the quarterback, the eighth grader from Thompson who tore up Auburn High School, injured and here to win a state championship. Similar 14-year-old situation.
State champion.
14-year-old, and he throws for like, what, 5 or 6 touchdowns in the game and a couple hundred yards, and it's nothing. And it feels like every class has a couple of those players that even amongst guys of their age, they're just way outperforming everybody else. And it's definitely a boon if you can get one of those guys on campus. I do know a place where it feels like it's kind of hard to fit a guy into the program or to the campus is the defensive back room. I never really worry about Auburn's defensive back recruiting. And I think part of that is just you've had such a great recent tradition of putting guys in the NFL, getting these defensive backs, getting them great. And looking at this year, you have DJ James coming back. You have, you know, Nehemiah Pritchett coming back. And then in there with them, Keontae Scott, Donovan Kaufman, and a monster class of 7 guys. We don't necessarily have... It feels like defensive back is the hardest place for someone to maybe get a committable offer that isn't a blue chip prospect. Is there room in the class to do something like that, to put out a flyer on a guy that like a 3-star out of Montgomery and somebody end up being an NFL player 3 or 4 years down the road?
Well, I mean, yes, Amon Lane right now is a 3-star. He's our only commit in the 2024 class. He's a 3-star DB, right? But when you look at the 2020 class, the 2021 class, the most recent 2022 class, and then it's just, you got Osbury, you got Rhyme, you got Scott, you've got DJ James in the transfer portal. It's that room is a wet sponge that can't hold any more water. Like, yeah. It is so saturated. But I think that's what they're going to focus on more is a guy that they can take a chance on, a guy that they can, since they have so much saturation and so much talent, that they can see the potential and they can take a flyer out on them. And then, you know, maybe they do go the McCreary route and end up being a stud and go in the first round or second round.
Take a developmental guy. Like, you know, the next Daniel Thomas, somebody who's considered to be a little bit undersized for the position, needs a little bit of work and is kind of a late take in the class, but you have time to develop them because you don't need them to play right away because you have such great talent in the top of the room. That makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure that, you know, now that Auburn has extra defensive back coaches on staff, you'll see them try to identify who is that guy they want to do, you know, and they want to get in the room and work with and mold into a contributor as he gets later in his career. Somebody who would be later in their career. There's a 2025 defensive tackle, Malik Blockton. I'm hearing a lot of talk about, a lot of conversation about what's going on with him right now.
You mean Autry? Blockton's 2024.
Yes, Autry. Yeah, sorry.
Autry. He's an Opelika kid. He loves Auburn. He is, from what I've heard, he's been an Auburn fan for quite a while. He was on campus. He really loved it. And this is completely just unrelated, but I don't know how much Auburn gear he got from Junior Day, but Sunday night he was in a Dick's. He was getting some Auburn gear. He was buying it with his own money. So that kid loves Auburn. I think that in the coming months, we'll start to see a little bit more focus. Mm-hmm. Like once like the summer rolls around, we'll start to focus on 2024 guys. And we'll start to creep in with some 2025s. And I think he'll be one of the first guys that we zero in on, focus in on. And I could see a commitment in his future for sure.
Yeah, I think I saw a crystal ball come up that was like 99% lock to Auburn. I think 1% was maybe LSU. And it feels like it's as good as done without saying it's done, just in case it comes back. It's like how weathermen never say 100% chance of rain anymore. They always say 90% chance just in case. You know, they want to be safe by giving them a little bit of space there. And if you want to feel safe, then this episode is sponsored by NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty, and you can be exploited by hackers. But what NordVPN lets you do, create a secure connection between your phone, your computer, and their servers. It lets you change your IP address, mask your traffic, makes you harder to track, and secures your privacy. NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. Check out the link in the episode description today to find out how to take advantage of their limited time offer. That's NordVPN. Link is in the episode description. Link is in the show notes. So, Lindsey Crosby, Jack Singley here with you on the Tuesday edition of the Auburn Daily Show. I got a chance to go check out some Auburn baseball over the weekend. Talked to Butch on Friday. Went to the scrimmage on Sunday. This team, yes, this team lost a lot from the 2021 College World Series team, and I think that's one of the reasons why you see them not in a lot of top 25s. There's just questions out there about how are they going to reload, but there's a lot of talent on this team. They're just lacking a little bit of experience. What questions, I guess, did you have, or what were you wondering about this team as we sit here a couple weeks away from the 2023 season kicking off against Indiana?
Pitching staff, like what's the rotation going to look like? Who's going to be our like ace, so to speak?
Yeah, that's the big one. And it's really easy to kind of pencil in Joseph Gonzalez, now in his third year, the sinker ball out of Puerto Rico. He's been here for a while. He's a known quantity, and he is just as good as ever. Pitched for Team USA over the summer. The sinker ball is still working. Had a 3.22 ERA in 15 games last season. The one thing I will say, there's a little bit of concern from Auburn fans about the fact that he didn't pitch on Friday in what would have been his first start of the spring. He's nursing a kind of a minor shoulder scapula issue. He had the same injury to start the year last year. Butch is not worried about it. The expression that Butch gave us on Friday when the media was meeting with him to kick off practice is he said, Gonzo's kind of like a diesel engine. Takes him a little while to get going and get warm, both in games and to start the season. But when he gets going, he just runs all the way through the season. And so they're not worried about it. But I think he's your number one. And number two to me is going to be Chase Alsup. He was a reliever last year, but he's been working as that number two all through the fall. And in the spring, he's got some of the best velocity on this team. The fastball sits 94 to 96, which is not something that we've had a ton of velocity on the mound in recent years. He has a curveball and a slider as well, and they break a little bit differently. So it kind of gives you a nice looking picture and makes things tough on batters. The real question for me is going to be who that third starter is. There's a lot of different options. You have a lot of talented freshmen. I watched Zach Crotchfeldt and Drew Nelson throw on Sunday. Crotchfeldt's stuff, like the velocity, things like that, was better than Nelson's. Nelson had a little more success just pitching to contact, letting guys hit ground balls to the defense, things like that. But I do think there is an option for a veteran like a transfer, Christian Heberholtz. He came from Southern Union, and he threw on Saturday, ridiculously efficient, just tons of ground balls. He was averaging like just over 3 pitches per batter, if that kind of tells you how dominant he was. Like, he only threw 25 pitches and he saw like 7 or 8 guys. So incredibly efficient, and something where it kind of plays into this team's strengths of, hey, the defense is going to be good. One of Butch's mantras is dominate the routine play. So you feel really good about that. And then you brought in a ton of talent via transfer portal and the draft class. The biggest question to me on offense is replacing Sonny DeShera. You know, he had probably about a third of the team's home runs last year. We hit, I want to say, 74 home runs as a team. He had over 20. And I think only one other player even hit double digits. And so that's kind of the big question is offensively, what happens to carry the offense? And Butch's defense, he said, like, all honesty, I don't know what we have. He's like, when I sat here last year, I'm like, is Sonny DeShera any good? Is he going to hit 270 here like he did at Samford? And so it wasn't necessarily, it's not something where I think we need to worry yet. The skill is there. The talent's there. We just have to figure out who's going to, like, who deserves to go in what position and who should be on the lineup card. And the way that Auburn's trying to figure that out is just letting them play as much baseball as possible. So they're playing as many squad games as they possibly can. And it's just, it's orange versus blue. And it's the goal is just play baseball. We're not doing drills. We're not doing practice. We're playing baseball so that the guys who are ready to compete in the SEC show us that they're ready so that when the season comes, they can be in the lineup. And I'm really excited. If you're watching and you're around the Auburn area, these games are all free to attend. The gates are open. You just walk in, you can take your own snacks. They will tweet the days and times, usually weekly, on the Auburn Baseball Twitter account. I usually have those up as well on my Twitter account. So make sure to check that out. Jack, where can people go to follow you, get more information about the recruiting, some of the stuff you're doing and all of that?
Look at my written work on auburndaily.com, and then Twitter, I usually repost my stuff and a lot of y'all's guys' stuff as well. It's Jack Singley 4 Twitter. I do have one more question.
Okay.
Is there a guy on the team where we can give him a nickname like Sonny D?
So we're going to figure that out. The Thick King, Sonny DeShera, that was, I coined that last year, just kind of spontaneously off the cuff, and it stuck to the point where the Los Angeles Angels used that when they drafted him. We are still working on this year's team. And part of that too is knowing who's going to be a starter and who's going to do the performance. Part of the reason he got the nickname was because he performed and he really showed out early in the schedule. So we're working on it. We're going to have something. I'm sure our friends at AU Shirts will have plenty of merch out there. Obviously they did everything from Sonny DeShera to Blake Burkhalter, things like that. They do have merch up for Nate LaRue, both his offense and his defense. And I'm sure they'll have more of that coming as the season gets here. I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. You can find all my written work at auburndaily.com. And until tomorrow, this has been the Auburn Daily Show.